I invite you to go with me to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8. We're reading verses 21 through 30. You can find this also printed in your bulletins, if you prefer to read from your bulletins as well. John, chapter 8, verses 21 through 30. This is the word of God. So he said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sins. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself, since he says, where I am going, you cannot come? He said to them, you are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. So they said to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him. They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I'm doing and that I do nothing on my own authority, but I speak just as the Father taught me. And He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to Him. As He was saying these things, many believe in Him. Let us pray. God, we come before you acknowledging that the only way we can understand your word is through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you that if we have belief in you, it's because you have given us already the Holy Spirit to understand spiritual things, to have faith in you, faith in Jesus as our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that as we read these words, you encourage us through them, showing us that you have given us of your grace. Help us, Lord, as we meditate on these words, to praise your name more and more for what you have already done. And we also pray together for anyone, whether they are in this place or somewhere else, who are watching this service. We pray that you may send the Holy Spirit into their hearts, that they might understand this spiritual truth as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we are continuing with our mini-series within the series of the Gospel of John. Something that we started from last week, which is that we're going to be looking at five powerful statements of our Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 8. Basically, we're looking, or the context of these statements is the conversation between Jesus and the religious leaders. The religious leaders are challenging Jesus' authority and identity, and Jesus is responding to their questions and their challenges. And through that, we can find these powerful five statements. I'm not saying that the rest of the things that Jesus are saying or is saying in this chapter or anywhere in the Bible is not powerful, but I just want to highlight these statements because they are very important for Christians and for anyone who is considering to come to faith in Jesus. Now, as I said last week, these statements have four things in common, and I'm going to be repeating these things every week as we look at a new statement. The first one is that Jesus is at the center of each one of these statements. The second one is that there is a message for all of us in this statement. There was a message for the people that hear it for the first time and continue to be a message for us today and for the generations to come. Also, the third thing is that there is an expected response to that message. And the last thing, or the fourth thing, is that there are consequences that people are going to face or will face or face depending how they respond to that message. For example, last week we considered verse 12. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is at the very center of that statement. Jesus is the light of the world. He is not a light or one of the lights of the world. He is the light of the world. He is the only light of the world. He is the only hope in the world. And for whom is this message? This message is for whoever follows me. So it's a message for everyone. The message that Jesus is the light of the world. And what is the response that is expected from Jesus' words is that you follow Jesus. That you follow Jesus. And then what is the consequence? The consequence is that if you follow Jesus, you will not walk in darkness, and you will have the light of life. And we saw that means is that Jesus leads you in this life. He is the light of the world that leads you and guide you to eternal life. Now, what is to follow Jesus? We saw last week that to follow Jesus is to believe in Jesus. Is to believe in Jesus. Now, there is a connection between that statement, beside the four connections that I told you, and the statement that we are reading today, which is what we find in verse 24. And let me tell you something. We are not taking these verses out of the context and just looking at the verse by itself. We are just highlighting one verse from the passage that gives light to the rest of the passage. So we're reading that verse, that statement, in light of what Jesus is saying in the rest of the passage. But what is the connection between the previous statement that Jesus is the light of the world and whoever follows Jesus will not walk in darkness, and today's statement is belief, is the word belief. Look, verse 24. For unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Remember, in the previous statement, you have to follow Jesus in order to walk in light, so that you don't walk in darkness. Now, the challenge that Jesus put in front of the religious leaders and in front of anyone, anytime in history, is that you believe in Him. And there is an important thing there, because it depends whether you believe or not that you will die or not in your sins. Whether you believe in Jesus or not will result in you dying or not dying in your sins. And we're going to understand better what does it mean to die in our sins. Now, we're going to be looking at five things that Jesus is saying here about Himself. Because if the challenge that we have is that we have to believe in Jesus, the question that we need to ask right away is, what do I need to believe about Jesus? Just believe Jesus' name, or just believe the historical Jesus, a man that lived at some point in time? No. Jesus is here describing at least five things. And I'm not telling you that Jesus came to the religious leaders and say, hey, you have to believe five things about me. That's no part of their narrative. The narrative is a conversation between Jesus and the religious leaders. But from that conversation, I would like to highlight five things that Jesus is saying about himself that are important for us to understand what it means to believe in Jesus, because you better believe if you don't want to die in your sins. And there is also five things, then you can guess that there are 10 points right now. There are five things that Jesus and John is saying about them, about the religious leaders, which can be applied to us or any people in life. How John and Jesus describe the condition of the religious leaders and people of any time. So Jesus said five things about himself, and John and Jesus said five things about us or about people. So the first thing that Jesus says about himself is that he speaks about his mission. Remember, we're trying to understand what we need to believe in order for us not to die on our sins. So Jesus is speaking to us about his mission. He said to them, I am going away. I am going away. And later, in the verse he says, where I am going, you cannot come. Where I am going, you cannot come. If you remember from last week, Jesus told them that his testimony was true because he knew where he was coming and he knew where he was going. But the religious leaders didn't know where he was coming, where Jesus was coming, and where Jesus was going. And what that meant there is the same thing that it means right now here. Where is he going when Jesus is saying that he's going away? He is referring to the fact that Jesus came to die on the cross. That his mission was to come to this world to die on the cross. I know where I'm coming, I know where I'm going, Jesus told them. It's because Jesus came for that very purpose. He was not simply killed by people, and that interrupted his plan of rallying people so people will be saved. Is that he came to die so you could be saved. And where he was going, Jesus is telling them, they cannot go. I would say for two reasons. It's because they could not go with Jesus to the cross. That was his unique mission. But also because unless they believe, they cannot go where he was going. Where was he going? He was not simply going to die on the cross. But you remember that he died on the cross. He was resurrected. He was raised by God the Father. And he ascended to heaven to be seated at the right hand of God the Father. And what did they need in order to go where he was going? As we read in the key verse, they needed to believe in him. And if they didn't believe in him, they would not be able to follow Jesus into heaven, because they would die in their sins. So Jesus, again, speaking to them about his mission. You need to believe Jesus' mission. When you say you believe in Jesus, you need to believe that Jesus came to die on the cross so that on the cross he could receive the punishment that you deserved and then give you salvation. That's Jesus' mission on earth. Empty himself, to die on the cross, to be raised, and lead us into eternal life. The second thing that Jesus tells them is about his origin. And when I say about, I'm saying about his origin, I don't mean that Jesus had a beginning. Because John himself explained that he was before everything that existed. That in the beginning was the Word, and the Word, Jesus, created everything that exists. But he's speaking to them about where he's coming from. He says to them in verse 23, I am from above. And he keeps saying later, I am not of this world. Remember that one of the questions that the religious leaders had about Jesus is that we know where he's coming from. We know that he's the son of Mary. He's the son of Joseph. And they have this idea that when the Messiah will come, they will not know where he was coming from. That he will just simply appear. But Jesus is telling them when he says, I am from above, I am not of this world, is that though you saw me as the son of Mary, I came down from heaven. Remember, he's saying, I am the bread that came down from heaven. That his origin is not the moment when he was born. I remember, and probably I have told you this many times, but one time meeting with a international student after knowing that he was a Christian for about 6 months, he had trusted in Jesus for salvation. And we get to study together the book of John, and we get to the first chapter, chapter 1, and he said, wow, I didn't know Jesus existed before he was born. He was already a Christian, but he's just realizing at that moment that Jesus was alive before he was born from Mary. Now, you have here the religious leaders having the same problem. They see Jesus and they can only see the son of Mary. And Jesus is saying to them, his origin is that he is from above. He is not of this world. Third, Jesus speaks to them about his nature. And he repeats that word twice in the text, ego eimi. I told you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, ego eimi. You could say, I am, I am. I am God. He said later in verse 28, you will know that I am he. Jesus is speaking to them that his nature is not like one of them. He is God. He is divine. Also, I am he means I am the one who was promised. I am the Messiah. I am the one you are waiting for, or you were waiting for. I am he that came to save you. His nature is divine. That's Jesus. Also, Jesus speaks to them about his authority. You read in verse 26 and ahead, I have much to say about you. I have much to judge. He says also, I declare to the world what I have heard from him, the Father. Remember that they were questioning Jesus in terms of with what authority or you are testifying about yourself. You are witnessing about yourself. Your testimony is not true. And Jesus said to them at that point, previous verses, I testify about myself and my Father testify about myself. How did the Father testify about himself? Throughout the Old Testament, but also when Jesus says, behold, here is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus is saying to them, I have much to say about you. I know all about you. Because I created you. There is nothing that I don't know about you. And Jesus didn't have or don't have senior moments. You know, like all of us have at some point. We forget things. Jesus has never forgotten anything about you. Everything is very fresh in Jesus' mind. So Jesus is saying, I have much to say about you. And because I have much to say about you, I have much to judge about you. There are many sins that I need to judge about you. Because I declare to you what I have heard from the Father and I have the same knowledge and the same authority. Remember, this is very difficult for the religious leaders to get, to understand. They are just seeing Jesus, the man, the son of Mary. And last thing is that Jesus speaks to them about his union with the Father. And he says plenty about that. I do know nothing, you can read from verse 28 down. I do nothing on my own authority. I speak just as the Father taught me. He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. And I always do the things that are pleasing to him. Jesus and the Father are one. And he does nothing on his own authority. And he speaks only the things that the Father have taught him. There is no difference between the Father's words and Jesus' words. And remember, when Jesus is bringing this new knowledge to them, he is revealing to them that when they think about God in the Old Testament, they are thinking about God. He's saying God the Father and I, Jesus, are one. There is nothing that I do that is not in union with the Father. He's revealing to them here, right now, again, as he continued to develop this thought that there is God the Father and there is God the Son. That is very present in the Old Testament. You can find God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit throughout the Old Testament. But it was a mystery for the people of Israel until Jesus comes into the world and he reveals to them the triune God. That there is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And he's telling to them that he is in complete union with the Father. Now, as Jesus said these five things about himself to them, he's saying to them, this is what you need to believe so you will not die in your sins. You need to believe about my mission, my origin, my nature, my authority, and my union with God the Father. This is what we proclaim when we share the gospel with people. This is what people need to believe in order to be saved as well. Now, Jesus and John also speak about them. You could say about us, or you could say about people in general. Jesus speaks about their condition, first of all. Their condition. You will die in your sins. He says, so he said to them, I'm going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sins. This is how a Boyce does a contrast in order to explain, James Boyce, what is to have spiritual death. Physical death is the separation of the soul and the body. We understand that. When you die, what happens is that your soul is separated from the body. Spiritual death is the separation of the soul from God. That is what is spiritual death. Now, you die in your sins. If you die in your sins, you are separated from God forever. That's a sobering thought. If you die in your sins, you are separated from God forever. And what is then to die in your sins? Is to get to the last moment of your life without trusting in Jesus. You will die in your sins because your sins will be still with you, not being atoned by the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what is to die in your sins. He also says, again, in verse 24, I told you that you will die in your sins. And he explained why. Because unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So the only way for you not to die in your sins is to believe in Jesus. He also speaks about them regarding their confusion, but I would say it's not just their confusion, it's their unbelief. You see, in verse 22, he says, John said about them, the Jews said, will he kill himself? See, he says, where I'm going, you cannot come. They didn't understand what Jesus was saying, but they didn't understand because they did not believe in Jesus and they did not want to understand. I think it makes sense that they will actually probably conclude that. Will he kill himself? In fact, Jesus was referring to his death. The only difference is that he wasn't talking about him committing suicide or killing himself, but he was talking about them killing him and about him giving his life for our salvation. They could have asked Jesus, if they were willing to believe, Jesus, what do you mean when you say, where I'm going, you cannot come? Now, they could even ask that question and it could be a sarcasm, as you see later in verse 25. Where it reveals more about not just their confusion, but their unbelief. So they said to him, who are you? You can read that question as, oh, sorry, Jesus, who are you? I want to know who you are. But a commentary on Plummer says, the pronoun is scornfully emphatic. They were basically mocking Jesus. This question could be read more like, who do you think you are? When they were asking this question to Jesus. In fact, if you will go back to the previous text, they asked Jesus, where is your father? You could think that they were sincerely confused. Some commentarians would say that when they asked Jesus, where is your father? They were saying, Joseph is not your father. So if Joseph is not your father, you are here speaking with authority. By the way, tell me, who is your father? Or where is your father, Jesus? That's the way they were speaking to Jesus. Verse 27, they did not understand that he has been speaking to them about the Father. All right, if they didn't understand, they could have asked, Jesus, please explain to us. We're really seeking for understanding. But that's not the way they are talking to Jesus. Where is your father? Who do you think you are? Because they did not believe. Jesus also speaks to them about their origin. In verse 23, he says, as he does the contrast between him and them, you are from below. You are of this world. You are humans. Jesus could have said this to them and it would have been even more difficult for them to understand. By the way, I created you Think about that. If Jesus would have said those words to them. By the way, when everything that existed, that I was before everything that existed, I mean, Jesus could have said John chapter 1 to them, and I created you. But probably that was too much for them. Everything has been too much for them already. You are from below. You are creatures. But now, also, you can understand this, if you are from below, is that you are sinners. And unless you believe, you will die in your sins. You are from below, describe their condition. Jesus also spoke to them about their destiny. And this is not necessarily applicable to everyone, but it was specifically about them. Verse 28, Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He. You know what He was saying to them? That you will take me to the cross. You will take me to the cross. Now, Jesus is saying here, you will know that I am He. Lift up the Son of Man is taking Jesus to the cross to be crucified. You will know that I am He is that some of the Jews who were part of this eventually believe. And think about what they thought and felt about that they did. We had an example, the Apostle Paul, who also persecuted Christians, and though he became a believer, he regretted that for the rest of his life, that he was a church persecutor. They will lift up Jesus. They will take him to the cross. And you will know that I am He. Some of them will. Some of them actually fulfill what Jesus says in verse 21. You will seek me and you will die in your sins. You will still die in your sins. And lastly, Jesus spoke to them about their only hope. Their only hope. Verse 24. I told you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. What was their only hope? They actually didn't think that they needed some extra hope. They thought they were part of God's family. They have secure salvation because they were the people of Israel. But Jesus is telling them, unless you believe that I am He, if you know me, know the Father. If you don't know me, you don't know the Father. If you don't know me, you don't know God. Jesus has told them previously. Therefore, the only hope that they had was to believe in Jesus. Otherwise, they will die in their sins. Some of them, in fact, die in their sins. And some of them didn't die in their sins because they trusted in Jesus. Now, think about this at this moment. We will all die at some point. Unless Christ comes before we die and we will be further clothed. We will be transformed, glorified in that moment when Jesus comes. But you, brother and sister, if you have trusted in Jesus, you have this great assurance that you will not die in your sins. You know that. It's a fact. It is not a wish. It is not I desire. It is not I think that today I will not die in my sins. I don't know about tomorrow. You know that if you have trusted in Jesus, you will not die in your sins. Therefore, you will not eternally separated from God, but eternally in communion with God forever. You already have that assurance. Why? Because you have belief. Now, why did you believe? You were smart enough to believe. You understood the Bible, the mysteries, you read it well. No. No one comes to faith through rational arguments. You believe because the Holy Spirit changed your heart. It is not your own doing. It is God's grace. It is God's mercy. Therefore, you today know that you will not die in your sins just because God loved you and saved you and opened the eyes of your heart. That is the reason why we have to be here together to praise God. Not today, but tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, and for the rest of our lives. That you have that assurance. Now, if you have not yet trusted in Jesus, whether you are here or somewhere, all we can do is pray. Is pray that God open the eyes of your hearts so that you can see Jesus. Trust in Him. Believe in Him. And you will not die in your sins. Let's pray. First of all, Lord, we thank you that we have assurance of salvation today, that we know for sure that we will not die in our sins because you loved us, because your grace was irresistible. We could not resist your amazing grace, your love, your compassion, and you changed our hearts, and you gave us eyes to see that Jesus is the Lord, that Jesus is the Savior, that Jesus has all authority, that Jesus is God. We know these things in our hearts because you have revealed them to us. We praise your name, Lord Jesus, for doing that work for us. We praise your name that today we know that we have eternal life. And we pray together, Lord, for those who have not yet come to faith, that you might reveal yourself in their hearts so they could see your kingdom. They could enter in your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.